T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Your questions, comments, opinions for Sal are always welcome. 803-0552. Join us with that because Mr. Capaccio is with us on the Western Hotline. And he's brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you today, sir?
Pretty good. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Where's your head at, Sal? I told Jeremy, I said, you know what? For me, this is the toughest day of the week. Monday was New England. Tuesday, we were still giddy. Wednesday, I started thinking about Kansas City. Friday, I'm all in. Today is like a limbo day for me. This is a hard one to get through.
Yeah, I mean, where's my head at? I don't know. Just still a lot to get to. Yeah, you're right. Today, it's kind of, you got to, they call Wednesday hump day, right? I think for football games, Thursday might be hump day. You're right, because once you get after today, you get on to Friday and it feels a little bit different. And then I think about, though, we do have games on Saturday, right? Now, I'll be traveling, but yeah. I'll be in Kansas City by that time on Saturday. So I was thinking about that last night, looking forward to, oh, yeah, you know what? Be in Kansas City, enjoy the afternoon games, go out for some barbecue, and that'll kind of be nice to pass the time there.
Very good. Hey, injury report.
Not to rub it in that I'll be getting some nice barbecue in Kansas City.
That's right. I'm sure you'll bring stuff back for us, so that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Injury report. Let's start with the Bills. Only one name. So, you know, knock on wood. It's a key name, but looking good at this point, right? No, not a big problem.
Well, let's hope. I mean, obviously, a limited on a Wednesday for any injury is encouraging. Yeah. It's not a did not practice, and that's Mario Addison. He was injured in the game against the New England Patriots. He came off the field. He was on the field for a while, laying down. They brought him off the field. He went in the medical tent. He didn't go back in the game. He was questionable to return. He never went back in, but he's limited yesterday with the shoulder injury. So yes, I would say that's encouraging on a Wednesday, but you know, we'll see as the week goes on, obviously.
And for Kansas City, what do we need to know about theirs?
Yeah. You know, I think the ones to monitor are the running backs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's been in and out of the lineup a lot. He's missed the last several games. He practiced last week. And they thought it was kind of like Wednesday he went out there, and then he didn't practice Thursday, Friday. So it didn't really go the way they wanted. So everybody's kind of assuming, okay, this week will be a better week. But we'll see, because he did practice yesterday. He was a full participant. But Andy Reid is basically saying, look, he's got to practice Thursday, Friday and see how it feels. So we'll see about that. But the other reason is because Darrell Williams, their other running back, has a toe injury. He did not practice yesterday. And is the other guy is Rashad Fenton. He's basically their starting nickel corner, Rashad Fenton. And he didn't practice yesterday either. But again, it's Wednesday. So two guys didn't practice. And then they had a bunch of guys that are listed that are full. So it looks like a pretty clean injury report for both teams. But I would say just keep an eye on the Chiefs running backs there and how that shakes out. We saw Jerick McKinnon last week play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Did a really nice job, obviously. And then their starting corner on the other side, Rashad Fenton, that could be a big loss if there is something there.
Sal, the win in week 5 that the Bills had at Arrowhead, how much, if at all, does it matter? You know, they lost the playoff game last year. Do you think it helps? Hey, at least we know we beat Mahomes at Arrowhead. It's possible we did it. Does that factor at all in this game?
You know, I don't know. It's always a tough thing to try and get into the psychoanalysis of it in people's heads. I will say this, I think, you know, by doing it already, the storyline is not constantly being hit over the head of, and they aren't of, you guys haven't won at Kansas City. You guys haven't won at Kansas City. Can't be the Chiefs. Can't be the Chiefs. You know, how many times you hear about that? You know, that was for so long, you know, with New England. You know, can't beat New England. Can't beat New England. Then they go to New England. They beat them. You know, obviously they beat them last year a couple times. But well, I think once last year came and they did that to New England last year, it kind of changed, like, the mindset of it. So I think by winning in Week 5, they've seen themselves do it. They know they can go there. Right? So I don't think there's any fear in that regard. So, yes, I do think from that standpoint it plays in. I think because at least they're not hearing all week and thinking about, boy, we haven't beaten this team. We can't go. We go there every time we go there. We lose. It's not been the case. They went there in Week 5 and won pretty handily, actually.
When you look at this matchup, this is one of the things we're talking about today. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. From the Bills' perspective, of course, what do you feel best about in terms of this matchup Sunday night? What would be number one on your list?
The Bills' offense against the Kansas City's defense. And look, I think that could go in a lot of ways. It's to me, like, I think the Bills can score a lot of points here. Mm-hmm. I really do. If they just don't make mistakes, if they could execute anywhere close to what they did on Saturday night, we could be looking at a score into the 30s here for the Bills, and that would be great, obviously, if they can get there. They did that last time they were there. The Chiefs' defense, as much as, you know, they've gotten guys back and they've been better, you look at some of the numbers, they're still giving up yards against the run, yards against the pass. You know, they're making opportune plays. You remember what happened in Denver. You know, if Melvin Ingram doesn't have that great play where he has the fumble and then they have the return for the touchdown, the Bills are actually the home team in this game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that. That's the difference, because they've made opportune plays at the opportune moments. Now, granted, there was still some time left, but you guys get the point. I mean, that could have gone the other way.
And that Denver game, you know, one of the things that happened was Drew Lock ran on them.
Yeah.
You know, he ran for a pair of touchdowns, and they had their breakdowns. Sal, I was listening to the Extra Point yesterday, and the guest you had on talking about the Chiefs defense, one of the more interesting things I've heard all week, I hadn't heard anybody else say, was that the Bills pushed the Chiefs around in that game. You know, so much of this Bills season, they've been called soft or finesse or whatever, and that too many teams that can play that way are a problem for the Bills. And here's your Chiefs guest saying that that's how Kansas City feels about the Bills' offensive line and defensive line.
You know, it's funny, Jeremy. I don't know if you remember this, but that night, I remember, like, the next day, I came on with you guys and Chip and the Bulldog, and I said one thing that stood out to me on the field was the Bills hit everything that moved. They were physical. They got in their faces. They basically said, you are, like, I think that they treated them like that. Like, hey, you have this finesse offense and these playmakers, and we're going to make sure you feel it every time you get hit. We're going to make sure we're in your face and next to you every time. I agree with that. Now, for them to say that from that side, I agree also. That was Josh Klingler, by the way. He's the sideline guy for the Chiefs Radio Network who was on. I agree with you for him to say that, because that stood out to me. And I remember coming on the radio the next day going, boy, like, the Bills just kind of, like, they had a mentality and a mindset of, we are going to be physical every single time they touch the ball, no matter who it is. And I think the Chiefs had an issue with that. Now, you asked me what I feel really good about. Like, Howard, the way the Bills are running the football, that's what makes it. Like, I keep telling everybody, I go on these stations in Kansas City or wherever, and they say, what's the biggest difference between the Bills last year and this year, or even Week 5 and this year? And it's the Bills' ability to run the ball. And that's coinciding right now with the Chiefs' inability to stop the run. And especially even, like you said, Jeremy, the quarterback. Do you guys remember how the Bills opened up the opening series at Kansas City? It was Josh Allen running. He scored the first touchdown. And then they dialed it back and he didn't run most of the rest of the game, because I think they said the Chiefs basically had to back off and say, okay, well, this guy, he could run on us. And that just opened up a lot of other stuff.
803-0550 to join us. If you got a question or a comment for Sal, we'll get connected with our fans. We got lines open if you want to get in. It is Kent in Buffalo. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Really looking forward to Sunday. And before I ask my main question, two quick things here. I know you did a poll a couple days ago about what was the most important game so far in Bills history. Am I correct on that?
I think it was One Bills Live did that, I believe, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, you know, if you're at 51-3, which I was, I don't think anything can top that yet. I'm hoping something happens soon that does top that, but that's the all-time winner as far as I'm concerned. And one other thing before I ask my main question, whatever happened to former Buffalo News writer Jerry Sullivan?
He works at Channel 4, doesn't work for Channel 4.
He works for the Niagara Gazette.
Oh, that's, I'm
and
sorry,
then,
yes.
And then he does write a column as a contributor for Channel 4. But he works, he covers the Bills for the Niagara Gazette.
I see. I used to enjoy his weekly stuff going back a handful of years. And
it's because he and Jeremy used to yell at each other.
That's what we do.
He used to come out. He had a weekly gig with a jazz band years ago out in a place called Soleil in Williamsville. And Jerry used to come out from time to time and got to know him a little bit. So
he's around. You can find his stuff. You can find his stuff. Just search it. It's out there. He's still around. He's still doing his thing.
And great to talk to you guys again. But my main question is, I've been hearing a lot about the, you know, the coaching tree, you know, with McDermott and Spagnuolo and others under this Andy Reid coaching tree. My question to you guys is there a, when you've got people coming into a big game like this that are, you know, on former staffs together in the past, is there advantages or disadvantages for either coach, or is there advantages and disadvantages to both by knowing each other from being on staffs previously?
I think by the time you get this far down the road, there's no more advantage or disadvantage. I don't even know if there is one necessarily right away, other than you kind of know the schemes a little bit in and out, right? That's all. You know, Andy Reid and Sean McDermott, they last coached together back in over a decade ago.
That's a long time ago. Understood.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any advantage or disadvantage anymore. I think a lot of it might be too the advantage or disadvantage might be when the players are the same a little bit, like when Sean McDermott faces, let's say, Cam Newton shortly after he's seen him in practice a lot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But no, I don't think there's any more of an advantage or disadvantage. We're way past that. Maybe in a year or two after the guy leaves. But at the same time, there's so many things that get changed around. There's so many people who are on staffs around the league who know each other and go from staff to staff. I think those things are pretty minimal.
Just wondered how much they knew each other's tendencies through previous experiences together and things like that. So, thanks for answering that question. I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I do think there's some carryover with schemes that people can take away. You know, guys, like, I mean, when for example, like if Brian Daboll is to get a head coaching job and the Bills face Brian Daboll wherever that is next year, I think that Sean McDermott would be very familiar with what Brian Daboll likes to do on offense and what his scheme is because he's been game planning with him and knowing him for years. But I'm sure that Brian Daboll would change some things and things like that. But the further you go down the road, obviously, the more that changes.
803-0550 for you. If you got something for Sal, and we'll go to Curtis in L.A. Curtis, you're on with Sal. Good early morning.
Morning, guys. I just want to thank you. I drive truck here in L.A. start between 1 and 3 in the morning, so it's kind of a blessing, the time difference. Wanted to talk about team psyche. I didn't really think much about it into how they're thinking about this game coming up, but I was watching off the Bills' Facebook page yesterday, the mic'd up from the Patriots game, and it really took me seeing that not really. I mean, I guess they deserve that confidence too, but I believe it was Allen on the sideline right around or just before halftime said to, I believe, Poyer or Hyde, you know, hey, we keep this rolling into next week. And what took me by surprise is it was the middle of the game. And this is the Patriots. We've seen what they can do to us. I know I'm living in that 20-year experience myself. They don't. But I feel like I don't want them to be overconfident. Do you think they're overconfident in a sense, too, because they've already beat the Chiefs this year?
I'll bring up another example of this, Sal, and I think it's an interesting question. This reminds me of right before – who was the game they played before they went to New England?
Tampa.
Was Carolina in there somewhere? Or no,
it was before. I'm sorry. You're right. Is it Carolina?
Carolina, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
They beat Carolina,
and
Sean McDermott in the post-game speech says, we all know who's next. And I think, you know, that's not necessarily right. That's not looking ahead to you're overconfident, I wouldn't say. I mean, maybe. I'll get your thought on this. I think this is a team that very, very clearly has the highest goals. And, you know, for Josh Allen, if they're up 30 on the Patriots, he knows. And he was very measured after the game about, you know, hey, sure, it's a win, but, you know, this team has bigger goals than that. And I think that they're not afraid to talk about the goals being as big as they are.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and look, overconfident, again, it's hard to get into this kind of stuff because you just don't know. You're not in there, and I don't think so. I don't think that they are like that. I just don't think this team operates in that fashion. Since Sean McDermott has walked in the door back in 2017, they've been this consistent team. They play in this certain space. Yes, they've been a little more inconsistent this year. They don't get too high. They don't get too low, anything like that. So, yeah, I do think it's I think it's tough to analyze, and I also don't think it's right to say like they would be just based on, oh, like you watching the mic'd up, because I'll also bring up something else that was on mic'd up. Jordan Poyer said, hey, it's 0-0. Let's keep playing the game like it's 0-0. Like he said that, right? I mean, you get a lot of things like that. So it's tough for everybody. I know we all kind of want to dig into as many little details as we can to try and pick things out. By the way, can I mention that mic'd up was absolutely amazing.
It was
People
very
to go
good.
Watch it. It was incredible. Oh my God. Jordan Poyer got me hyped just during pregame and stuff, the way he was mic'd up. That was the best. I mean, seriously, the part of the mic'd up where he says their era ends tonight, like that's just got to be put on a loop forever. It was great.
But the Chiefs have been the target. You know, the Patriots, they beat the Patriots last year, and of course they had to get by them after a stumble in the regular season, but this is the team that ended their season, that kept them out of the Super Bowl. I know Diggs was asked about that. Are you worried about being too emotional? Because that picture of him in Arrowhead last year is going around. Like, and his answer was, no, I'm in the right mindset. I know what's up. So, I don't know. Sometimes, Sal, I think if you're not a great team and you talk about the Super Bowl, people think, like, what are you doing getting ahead of yourself? If you are a great team and you know it's your goal, you know, you become more comfortable talking about it. I think that, of course, the Chiefs should talk about, you know, they want to get back to the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, that chocolate cake answer was about getting back to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Did you? I don't know if you guys stuck around for the post game on Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they clearly made, like, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes clearly said yes. He was asked point blank, if you do not go back to the Super Bowl, is this season a disappointment? He said yes. Like, that's it. That's their goal. Like, they're looking, so that's the goal, right? I mean, and you look at that and go, wow, like they are really, that's doesn't matter. It's not, you know what, we got a really good Buffalo team, and if we fall short, we've had this really successful season. No. He said right there, point blank, and that was right from Andy Reid, basically, like, hey, if we don't get back to where we were last year, the season's a failure. I mean, they've basically said that and admitted to it.
803-0550, we'll get connected with our fans. Sal with us, of course, on our Western Hotline. Trevor in Lancaster, you're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to go over the game this weekend. Obviously, the defense is going to be a big factor. Just wanted to see, is A.J. Klein going to be a big factor? Obviously, they used him last week against the run game. Thought he played pretty well. Coverage gets me a little nervous, but I believe Matt Milano was out the last time they played KC. Just wanted to see what the linebacking core was going to do this weekend and what McDermott was going to throw at them. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I'd be surprised if A.J. Klein played a lot in this game based on the opponent now. I mean, last week was a much different animal against that team. They're going to run the ball. They're going to, you know, New England, this team is going to spread you out, throw the ball. They're not going to be a team that's going to try and be super physical with you. So I think, yeah, and by the way, it is true. Matt Milano did not play in the Bills' regular season game last year against the Chiefs. He did play in the AFC Championship, and then he did not play in the regular season game this year. And I do think he's a factor. So, you know, yeah, I wouldn't expect A.J. Klein to play much unless he had to, or in certain like situations, goal lines or short yardage or things like that. But that's generally a team, the Bills, who play a lot of nickel, and I would see that happening here again this week.
You mentioned what you know you felt good about from the Bills. What's your number one concern in this matchup Sunday night?
It's their wide receivers against, and the way they operate against a team without Tre'Davious White. This is the first game that the Bills will truly, truly be tested by an elite quarterback and really great weapons without Tre'Davious White. I think the Chiefs will attack and try to go after Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace and say, okay, can you defend us without Tre'Davious White? So to me, that's like right away. I'm going to be looking for that in the first quarter. Are the Chiefs saying, okay, can we now, we're going to make you do it, and you guys got to prove you can. Go keep everything. And look, they have great safeties. We know that. Wouldn't be surprised to just see a lot of stuff to the outside, some deeper stuff to the outside, and try and make some big plays and hit them on those guys. That's my concern.
Sal, before I let you go, I know you a couple things. We'll let you promote what's coming up on the show today. But also, you were tweeting a little bit about Roger Goodell. I guess he made some comments yesterday about the Bills Stadium. So for folks who didn't see it, anything to pass along from that?
No, he was – look, it was all general. I'll get to it in a second. But just so everybody knows, it was on a fan forum hosted by Maddie Glab of the Bills and One Bills Live. And Roger Goodell was answering questions from fans. And then at the end, there was questions about the stadium. And he did not give any specific details on anything. He just kept reiterating that he's confident that things will work out. They got to do what's right for Buffalo. There's a process. He's been involved in lots of talks and meetings that are going on. So he sounded very optimistic, but at the same time did not sound like anything is imminent to be announced.
And promote your show today, Tracy Wolfson, is that right?
Yeah, Tracy's going to join us at 11:05. I've gotten to know Tracy over the years on the sidelines. It's funny, I've seen a lot of the TV sideline reporters over the years, but Tracy's someone I don't see a lot because the Bills usually aren't the, you know, with Romo and Nance and her, the number one team. But they've had a couple of games, and obviously the last couple of years a little bit more often. So she's kind enough to join us today at 11:05. We'll get her thoughts on the Bills and the Chiefs. She'll be calling the game, obviously, with, like I said, Jim Nance and Tony Romo.
All right, excellent. Thank you, as always, for your time, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sal and Joe coming up at 10 o'clock with the Extra Point Show. Of course, Sal will be on the sidelines Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. We've got you covered come Sunday with the Bills playoff game against the Chiefs. We will have a Sports Talk Sunday for you at 11 o'clock to lead you into pregame. Well, it's an extended pregame, I guess. 1 o'clock, it's Bills game day. 3 o'clock countdown to kickoff. It is a 6:30 matchup in Kansas City. Postgame show to follow, and then the overtime show with Nate Geary. That is the coverage plan for Sunday. 803-0550 to join us. What do you feel best about with this matchup? Flip it around. What's your number one concern? Whatever else is on your mind, phone lines are always open with whatever you'd like to discuss. Questions, comments, opinions. We'd love to hear from you. Former Bill Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, was at the Patriots-Bills game the other night. We'll talk about that, and we'll get his thoughts on Bills KC and the other matchups in the divisional round. That's coming up at 8:05 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
They are the mecca of what the AFC, or of the AFC, and that's the team that everybody wants to aspire to be. To be in 3 AFC championships in a row and be in two Super Bowls in a row, so... that's the type of level that we want to be. And in order to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Mr. Josh Allen, ladies and gentlemen, and some of his comments to the media yesterday. Bills Chiefs, of course, coming up Sunday night. We're talking about it with you. 803-0550. Questions, comments, opinions, predictions. I think that covers everything.
I have all of those ready for you right now. Questions, comments, predictions.
That's a lot to get in the
those
segment.
Those
are
three?
Questions, comments, opinions, predictions. Four.
Okay. I'm going to go 4 for 4.
All right.
It starts with a stat slash a note. It's kind of a stat. Did we do the stat of the day yet?
Yeah, but we always we can do plenty of stats of the That's day.
True. It's an age stat.
Oh, great. I love these.
No, you'll like it. I think actually there's an interesting conversation to follow. And you probably – everybody is going to hear this and be like, oh, yeah, you know this, but you know, maybe you don't know that you know it. And that's how I felt reading this. And it's just this. Tom Brady is older than every coach in the NFC he will face.
That's just like,
you knew that, but you maybe didn't know you know.
Well,
that.
I didn't actually spin the four teams through my head to go and do like the math on it. Yeah,
LaFleur, McVay. And the other one is
Shanahan. And
that's it. Yeah. It's just the NFC. He's older than all the coaches of the other teams.
Coach. Yeah.
And there's a couple things about that. There's, of course, Brady's old for a player. He's playing well into his career.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw this note, and it didn't mention that it's the first time this will ever happen, because I don't think you have to mention that, because it's not exactly happened as a secret, but look how much the game has become a young man's game from a coaching standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott is young, right? Andy Reid's not, but Zach Taylor is. Vrabel is probably in the middle,
yeah,
right? But this was something that I think people might have thought was going to happen, and it sure has, that the coaching ranks, you know, you don't have as many guys in the 50s, 60s, 70s as you used to. Now, guys are getting head coaching gigs at 32.
Right.
McVay was 32, I think, when he got his job.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who would have been – was Taylor – who was the youngest? Was it Taylor at the time that he got his? He was – he had to be pretty
all pretty young. And now, yeah, like, if you look at the candidates, some of the hot candidates, the San Francisco offensive coordinator, I think, is Mike
McDaniel. Yeah.
Mike McDaniel. He's young. He's going to get a lot of looks.
Staley was young, yeah.
Brian Daboll's going to get some looks. He's not – 30s young.
Right.
So it's just kind of interesting to see how this evolution of the sport has gone from valuing, you know, experience to a lot of these young go-getters have been – The one Washington staff, by the way, had McVay and Shanahan and LaFleur on it in 2013. Wow. All three on one staff.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to get – also, it's not – I don't know, for so many years it was always retreads. Am I right? If somebody would get fired, this is the Norv Turner discussion, I guess. But I'm not sure he's the poster child, because a lot of his stuff was coming back as offensive coordinator, not necessarily as a head coach all the time. But even the coordinators, right, like Dom Capers, I feel, was in the league for 8 million years.
Right, Norv Turner.
Yeah.
8 million years. But it's Wanstead, yeah.
Yeah, they would just kick around. And whether it's coordinators or head coaches, you would have retreads. It's nice to see. A lot of things have changed over the last 5 to 7 years in the NFL, including the evolution of the game using college concepts, right? How the offenses have changed. And not, you know, sure, it's not, this is not the college guys never are good head coaches, Urban Meyer, but the pros learned from the college ranks, and the offenses have adjusted, evolved, changed, whatever. But it's also nice to see these young minds bringing different things into the National Football League, that you don't have to wait. Well, no, I'm sorry. You got to be, probably 45 or 50 before we're going to have you get your first head coaching job, and you have to be in the league for 20 years and all that. Hey, you know, if you're 32 and you're good at what you do, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's you know, I think that is important. That's great to see young, fresh minds, and not just treading out the same, you know, 50, 60-plus-year-old guys and saying, okay, yeah, let's just hire somebody who's been in the league before.
And, you know, maybe at the end of the day it'll be Arians against Reed in the Super Bowl, and it's the two old guys that make it.
Yeah, could be, right.
You know, you never know. So,
but even Reed's evolved. He's an older guy, but he's changed. To his credit, he's, you know, he went into Kansas City, right? They bring in Mahomes, and they have the cutting-edge offense before anybody else does that.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, wasn't he kind of ahead of the curve
in Philadelphia
as well?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like, in Philadelphia, he was always criticized because he didn't run the ball enough.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you run the ball more?
And, well, because he was winning and he was getting to championship games. It was fine.
Right. And the sport kind of moved more towards where Andy Reid was, which is passing a lot more. You know, you just kind of went in that direction.
Right.
So, Tom Brady, older than
older than dirt.
Older than all these coaches, yeah.
Yeah.
The NFC, you know, the NFC is interesting to me. The four teams left, I think, are all pretty good. San Francisco is one of the most interesting teams. There's a big article about Debo Samuel. I think it was in The Ringer, and how, you know, he's – like, Allen is at quarterback. Debo Samuel is at a skill position, that he can play running back and receiver and be so good at both of them. He is such a weapon for them. And, you know, he's so valuable in the NFL. His points added – like, EPA, if you want to use, like, expected points added.
Yep.
His expected points added when they hand them the ball in the backfield is huge. It's more than an Aaron Rodgers drop back. Double it.
Wow.
Like, Benjamin Solak had a piece, that's who it was, who tweeted this out, this article, The Ringer, about Debo Samuel and how, you know, if you can find guys like this that can just do everything, It is so cool. He is thunder and lightning packaged into one.
Well, that's why
Solak,
right?
referred to him as.
That's why he's interesting, and to their credit. I wonder how that conversation would have gone. Like, did Kyle Shanahan walk up to Deebo Samuel at practice, or was this at locker cleanout one day and go, hey, you know, kicking around this idea of putting you in the backfield every now and then. And because, I mean, I don't know, some people might look and go, what? But he's a beast. He's so tough to stop, even though, you know when he lines up back there and you know he's coming. They still had trouble stopping him. They were, in the Dallas game the other day. And it's, like you said, he's big, he's strong,
he's
physical, but he's fast. I mean, like I was thinking about Isaiah McKenzie. He's not Deebo Samuel, obviously. But it's the idea of, hey, here's a guy who's a wide receiver. He's good. Maybe we should get him more touches, by the way. He's a good returner. Jet sweeps, line him up as a running back at times, not just pull him around from a receiver slot. Hey, there's another weapon and another way to utilize the skill set of a player on your team. To Shanahan's credit, or whoever came up with the idea, I don't know, maybe Samuel went to them. To their credit, it was, this kid's a really good receiver, but what else can we get out of him? I was thinking about Cordero Patterson, but maybe that's, he was not a great receiver. Samuel's a better receiver than Patterson was, right?
Yes.
But at some point, someone came up with this idea, and Patterson's like, yeah, all right. Yeah, let's make him a better overall weapon for us. Look, we'll use him in the backfield.
Right, and anytime there's a player like this, this goes for quarterback, this goes for running back, this goes for receiver. Oh, a quarterback that can also move, there becomes a movement to find quarterbacks that can move. Oh, running backs, now we're going to throw them the ball out of the backfield. And, the first version of this, Thurman Thomas, Marshall Faulk, guys that were such a threat all the time, that became a very normal thing. And you wonder if one of the next evolutions of, offensive football would be teams trying to identify, can we find a Deebo Samuel? Because of the versatility. Travis Kelce, right? He does what he does. And Brandon Bean openly talks about wanting to find a guy like Kelce in the offseason last year. So, yeah. You get these unicorns, as they call them sometimes. It's really tough to find guys that are similarly skilled. But I think Deebo Samuel is probably the next mold of this year at the draft, right? This year at the draft, there will be receivers that might be talked about this way because there's a bunch of first-round receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And – the big, strong, physical receiver. I just wonder if the next time that guy comes around, the Deebo Samuel conversation happens. Think about defense, too, right? Like, we've seen hybrids. Hybrid linebacker safeties.
Yeah.
Guys that kind of are – they used to be called tweeners in a bad way, and now they're called hybrids because offenses evolve. You have hybrid offensive players, and it's kind of fun to watch the evolution of the sport. And maybe that comes, full circle, bringing it back to the young coaches – more willing to get, these non-traditional roles for players and non-traditional body types or whatever.
At some point, teams started realizing we should draft a guy who is a nickel corner. Not just draft a cornerback, but, this guy's best position on the field is inside. Let's make sure, Taron Johnson, I think, is a really good nickel corner. And I think he's fitted perfectly for that position. And I think more teams over time, because nickel defenses now being as predominant as they are, I don't know, what do the Bills play? They play nickel like two-thirds of the time at least?
Generally
maybe more.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's not just let's find a cornerback. Let's find a guy who is tailor-made to be inside, because you have to have a really good nickel corner to be successful defensively in this league with the amount of passing that's going on. 803-0550. It is Thursday, and it is divisional round week. We are talking everything Bills Chiefs with you this morning here on the station. And what do you feel best about with this matchup on Sunday night? And then flip it around. What's your number one concern for this matchup? That's just one of the things we're talking about this morning. Whatever else you want to get to, that is fine. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. I got a tweet. We'll get connected with our fans, by the way. Lock City Bill. Josh Allen's will to win in terms of edges or what he feels best about and overcome any obstacles the Chiefs throw at him. The pass rush of the Chiefs up the middle and the O-line not being able to protect Josh, that would be his main concern. Chiefs defense stopping the run, putting more pressure on Josh, and no Trey White. That's a big list. Actually, Ross Tucker's coming up at 8:05, the former Bills offensive lineman. And one of the things I'm going to bring up with him for sure, I want to get his thoughts on that Chiefs defensive line. The Bills offensive line has been really good the last few games, especially with Ryan Bates in there. We'll talk a little bit about the matchup up front. So thanks for your tweets. Phone lines are open too. We'd love to hear from you. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Blitz.
Lost the football. It's on the ground. Covered by the Raiders.
His college teammate, Charles Woodson, on the blitz.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete pass.
Yes, so the Tuck Rule. I have not, nor will I attempt to watch Man in the Arena, but I will watch the Tuck Rule 30 for 30. Yes, there's a 30 for 30 coming out about that play. It's going to be Sunday, February 6th at 8:30 on ESPN. And what they did was, the concept is, Jeremy, they sat down, the two guys involved, who I forgot were actually college teammates at Michigan, Tom Brady and Charles Woodson, sat down and analyzed the play for this 30 for 30. So they spent like an hour and 15 minutes together rewatching the play. And then both of those guys were interviewed separately, and they put it all together for the 30 for 30 that's coming out on February 6th.
Mm.
It was a fun one.
I would watch it, but I've got to shovel off the roof of my garage.
Come on. You won't watch this, huh?
No.
This won't bother me like Man in the Arena would bother me.
Now, for a moment,
yeah.
Just, you know, think about something here.
I just watched the play back just now in the break.
There's one problem. Like, if the Bills were to lose on some sort of heartbreaking, terrible game here.
Yeah.
In 20 years, we'll have a special about it. Yeah, sure, we made up the rules as we went, but, you know, hey, remember that? Remember how great that was? Hey, Charles, watch this play in excruciating detail as we ripped away a postseason win.
Hang on.
Wasn't it great?
I'm going to email ESPN, see if they can get Frank Wycheck and company, and see if they can do a 30 for 30 on home run throwback.
That was the divisional round, right?
Home run throwback was, yes.
No.
I believe it was the divisional round, right? They'd go on to win the Super Bowl. That's their first Super Bowl that year, but I don't think that was the conference title game. Let me just double check. Yes, 2001 AFC divisional playoff game. Yeah, I'll watch. You know, I mean, it's New England, and it's a fumble. I mean, I don't know, but I watched it. I remember watching the game, and I looked at the play again this morning, and it's still a fumble. But I'll watch. I think that doesn't bug me as much as a 10-part series on the greatness of Tom Brady and the genuineness of Tom Brady and winning all the seven Super Bowls that he's
won. Well, I know whenever I'm not watching something about Tom Brady, all I can think is, where can I find something about Tom Brady?
Wow. Boy, you really...
When
he goes into the Hall of Fame, I'm going to go out on a limb. You will not be going to Canton to be there in person for this.
I'm sure there'll be a 12-part documentary about his trip to Canton.
Sorry. Behind the scenes on NFL Network, a 12-part series on Journey to Canton.
You know what? People don't talk about this guy
exclusive
enough.
Exclusive footage.
He was named Sportsman of the Year by Sports Illustrated or whatever.
What, for this past year?
Yeah.
Why?
Great question. Who knows?
Why? I guess because he was 43 and won a Super Bowl or whatever.
I guess so.
All right.
Oops. Yeah, congratulations to him.
Well, I'm still going to watch.
God forbid we read about literally anyone else.
Man.
Hey, he's great. He's great.
I won't ask you to come over for a viewing party on February 6th.
Well, part of it is, it's like you watching 24/7 with Matt Cook. I don't need anything... and get me to like him.
Yeah.
I have my liking when he trolls people and when he's a good villain because he does that, but he doesn't do it all that.
Hartnell. It was Scott Hartnell. Watching them portray him as a nice guy.
I don't need to watch 10 hours of programming trying to get me to like that guy.
I am going to get you a home copy for you to have so you can watch it in the privacy of your own residence with your twins.
Speaking of the former Patriots, do you have a chosen title that we're going to refer to this past Saturday's game as? The comeback game.
Has someone dubbed it? Has it been dubbed?
51-3.
There are a couple contenders. I had not thought about it. Honestly, I don't even know if I've actually seen any nicknames placed on it yet.
Like 5 years from now, what will we call it? I think the obvious answer is the perfect game.
Yes. Sure,
I think we'll call it the perfect
game. It was a perfect game on offense, right? Like it. Well, what else have you seen?
There's the Boston Massacre.
Not bad.
Not bad. It's funny. The Boston TD Party. the only problem
I do like that.
I do like it. The only problem is, I think if you you're putting Boston in it, you know, instead of Buffalo.
Yeah.
But that's they're both good. I just think I'll be calling it the perfect game.
Well, that's what we'll always remember it as, 7-for-7.
Right. And, you know, well, you could say a perfect game meant that they would shut them out. No, you know, if you shut a team out, we have a name for that. It's called a shutout.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and if you pitch a perfect game, that doesn't mean you don't throw any balls.
Right.
You just do everything and you get everybody out. So
it was a perfect game offensively.
It was a perfect game offensively. And if we're also being honest, it was perfect to beat New England. It was perfect that it was the first full home game in forever.
See, that's why I'm thinking working
in. It was perfect that Jim and Thurman are there giving the speech before the game. It was perfect that it was too cold for them, just right for us. Where would you rather be? Like, everything that is going to a Bills playoff game, it was perfect. It was a perfect night.
That's why I liked your Boston TD. See, I think there is something to the perfect game doesn't refer to the significance of beating the crap out of the team that tortured the Bills for 20 years. So I feel like if we're going to dub it, somehow, New England, Patriots, Boston, Belichick, something that points out who they beat needs to be in that title. Like, that's why I thought Boston TD party was.
51-3 doesn't say the title.
No, I know. But we weren't tortured by the Raiders for 20 years.
Right. Neither does the comeback game.
No, I know that. Again, this was significant. Sure, yes, it was 7 touchdowns, 7 drives, but who they beat was everything about this game. Like, curb stomped. So I feel like we've got to work something making fun of the Patriots into the title.
I'm going to call it the perfect game.
All right, I'll take Boston TD party.
Okay.
803-0550. When we get back, Mr. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider.
He was there.
Was there.
He was there. I saw him in pregame.
Now, this is interesting, too, because he's a former Bill.
And a former Patriot.
But he's a former Patriot, too, so I'm not sure what he's going to say. So we'll delve into that in a moment. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.